Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. I'm so excited to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. I give God all the praise. I give God reverence, who is my life, and to all of you, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just thank and praise God for this opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast on this evening. I give him praise. I give him glory on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order on tonight. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer. We're going to get ready for our scripture reading, and it will be coming from Psalms 32. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hands was heavy upon me. My vitality was turning to drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. In my iniquity I have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eyes. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which may be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. My sorrow shall be to the wicked, but he who trusted in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." I have just read you from Psalms 32 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song.
May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may and make your standing prove that God is good, and make your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your trouble keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show
God, he lives your whole life.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, just giving you all the praise and giving you glory, just magnifying your name, just glorifying your name on tonight, God. And we give you praise tonight. And we give you glory, Lord. And we just thank you tonight, God. And Father, I come right now, God, I'm asking you to cover our prep, our Bible class on tonight. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Spirit may increase and teach us on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to open up our understanding tonight. Open up our minds on tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you tonight for every good and perfect thing come from you, every good and perfect gift from you, Lord, come from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, so I ask you now to just let me decrease, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost may increase, in the name of Jesus, and minister and teach us tonight, God. Move me from myself, God. I ask you to work through this vessel, God, and use me, God, in the name of Jesus, just put your people on tonight. In the name of Jesus, and I bind up the strong men on tonight. I bind every witch. I bind up every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every a psychic, every demon on assignment tonight. I bind up in him. I cast you out. I command you to go in the name of Jesus from our lives and from this radio broadcast. I ask you to cover everyone on the sound of my voice, every member of this ministry, of this church. I ask you to cover tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we'll be so careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, all of the honor. In Jesus' name and for your glory, amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. God is such a good God, and he's so worthy to be praised on tonight. So on tonight, we're just going to kind of go over the who changed the Sabbath day to Sunday. And it's a little lengthy because it's like people's. They have been discussing and putting their little two cents in here and there, but we want to have it clear. We want to make it clear. So that's why I'm going over it with everybody, because we don't have our lessons tonight anyway. So we're going to take Thursday night and Tuesday night to finish this, and then we'll start in Leviticus. And then when we do start in Leviticus next Thursday, I just want to go through the history of Leviticus before we start with the questions and stuff. So, you know, God is a good God, and he won't leave or forsake us. And when we start next Thursday, I will be done with work, so I have enough time to really get into what I need to get into on next Thursday when it's time for the Leviticus to come up. So I thank and praise God for this opportunity. I give God all the praise. So we're going to just go into who changed the Sabbath to Sunday. It says many are asking what day is the Sabbath or who changed the Sabbath. How often do you hear that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday based upon Acts 20:7? And let me just read that, Acts 20:7. That's why I know it's going to take us a little longer to get through this, because we want to know, and, you know, I already know, but it's always good to know stuff like this. So when a man or a woman comes to you, you'll be able to tell them who did this. Acts 20:7 says, and I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. But I don't see anything that says anything else, but that's what that verse says. So despite what history reveals, you are about to discover beyond all doubt that this meeting was not even on Sunday, and that breaking bread was not communion here. You may also hear some say that Constantine was not responsible for the change of the Sabbath to Sunday. This is also incorrect, as the final change did, in fact, begin with the Sunday law. Read on for the rest of this real story that propones to do not what you hear, not want you to hear. Paul exhorts in the following verse that circumcision is nothing in comparison to the Ten Commandments. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19, since there are more than 40 verses and up to 10 verses at a time stating that circumcision of the flesh is a yoke of bondage and abolished, how many scriptures would you expect stating the Sabbath was abolished or changed to Sunday? Perhaps 70 or more. Is not even one verse that says the Sabbath is abolished or is now Sunday. The Ten Commandments are the only thing that God personally spoke in such inconceivable fury, majesty, thundering his voice from the mountaintop while everyone trembled in fear below, and then personally etched his magnificent law into stones, tablets with his own finger. Yet there is not one clear scripture, just a couple of erroneous assumptions. One of God's commandments supposedly changes or is abolished, and we do not have even one clear verse. And why not? Does such scriptures exist? It was changed to Sunday by Satan through idolatry, sun worship. Hence, the name Sunday. Sunday dies sols, that's Latin for Sunday, which means day of the sun, from which we get Sunday. The English name for the days of the week are pagan names. Over 100 other languages around the world, Saturday is still called the Sabbath, just as God named it at creation. This can be dated as far back as Babel in Genesis chapter 11, where Saturday was recognized as the Sabbath day and was incorporated into the very name of the day. See the table below and note the names of the weekdays for the older language. This is also very relevant for the argument that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible. So it said, what day is the Sabbath day according to history? Below is a table of the week showing the position of the true Sabbath. Apart from Latin and English, and unless otherwise stated, the name of the seventh day is Sabbath. Wait a minute, y'all. Make sure. Everybody, okay. Okay. So the it says the Hebrew and ancient modern. The first day is one into the Sabbath. The second into the Sabbath, and it's got all the way down to the sixth, and it says the eve of the holy Sabbath. And then at the end, it has the seven-day name, the Shabbat, or the Sabbath. And we just want to make sure that we get it right, because, I mean, even if you don't mention it, you'll know the truth about it. And then in all these different languages, it still says the Sabbath is on a Saturday. In all the different languages, you got Russia, Germany, French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish, Latin, Greek, Urdu, Hinduism, Egyptian, Arabic, Babylonian, Samaritan, or Old Hebrews, Chaldean, ancient Syrica, in Hebrew, Shematic, all of them say the 7 day is the Sabbath day. So I just went down in this Latin and English pagan names. They got different names. The Latin got different names, and the English have pagan names. Pagan names, pagan anything is almost like witchcraft. So the pagan names are Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Those are pagan names. And so I guess that's what they named those days as pagan. But it says, this table includes some of the oldest languages known to man. The Babylonian languages, for instance, was in use hundreds of years before the Hebrew race was founded by Abraham. The language designated the seventh day of the week as Sabbatu, meaning Sabbath or rest day, and is another indisputable proof that the Sabbath was not and is not exclusively Jewish. Very few realize that the word Sabbath and the concept of resting from work on the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday, is common to most of the ancient and modern languages of the world. This is evidence totally independent of the scriptures that confirm the biblical teaching that God's seventh day, the Sabbath, predates Judaism. The concept of a Saturday holy day of rest was understood, accepted, and practiced by virtually every culture from Babylon through modern times. In the study of the many languages of mankind, you will find two important facts. The first is, in the majority of the principal languages, the last or the seventh day of the week is designated as the Sabbath. There is not even one language which designates another day on the day of rest. So the proponent that states that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible are looking for something that does not exist and something that would contradict the words of Jesus if it did. Since history is also so clear on how the day was changed, then these proponents can only be doing one thing. If they admit the Sabbath was changed by persecution and force, then they have to admit that they are worshiping on the wrong day. However, this group does not want to do that, so they search the scriptures for some verse that they can make an assumption on to try say that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible. Of course, you also get that other group that would tell you the fourth commandment was abolished using one of the hundreds of different reasons. Then there is another group that found that they could not prove from the Bible that the fourth commandment was abolished, and so they attempted to prove that all Ten Commandments was abolished. And when you have the inconsistency of Christians teaching that it is either 10, 9, or 0 commandments on the day was changed, you know something is definitely very wrong, and God's law is under attack. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 also tells us that the little horn who changed God's laws and persecute the Christian saints, and of course they did both, just as we are told. This also seems to be conveniently ignored or misunderstood. Watch a true story on the death of a Sabbath keeper. So hear what I've read, just this last paragraph talking about the Sabbath was changed. They was trying to prove that the Sabbath was changed in the Bible, and it was not. Now, it wasn't in the Bible. They didn't put it in the Bible because Constantine changed it. So I'm going to read on down some more And if you have any questions, just stop and ask me, because we probably won't finish this today because it's 15 pages of it. And I want to make sure that you all understand this. So if some, I mean, like I say, you don't have to go here and there saying, well, this and this and this, but at least you'll know where it come from and where you got it from. It says the Sunday cannot be the Sabbath. Before covering the real truth on the Sabbath to Sunday change, let's look further at the Bible weekly day names. The biblical times, the days of the week were biblically called first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, on preparation, The sixth was the sixth or preparation, and then it was the Sabbath. The numbering of the days actually revolved around the Sabbath, as shown in the above tablet or table. The verse translated the first day of the week are actually saying first day after the Sabbath. This in itself says that these days were not the seventh day Sabbath. The phrase first day of the week in the King James Version uses the Greek word mia, which is first, a hohito of the Sabbath, Sabbath, or the Sabbath. The word day is an added word and does not exist in the Greek. So the phrase more correctly reads first day of the Sabbath, which for clarity could be translated as first day after the Sabbath or first day of the week. John Gill's expository of the entire Bible, commenting on Matthew 28:1 on the phrase first day of the week, says, toward the first day of the week or Sabbath, so the Jews used to call the days of the week the first day of the Sabbath, the second day of the Sabbath, and taking an instance or two. There would not be many people today who would understand the meaning of the phrase first of the Sabbath or second of the Sabbath, etc. And so it is typically translated as first day of the week. Thus, Luke in this case is saying that the first day of the week, the first day is the first day after the Sabbath, and hence is also saying that this day is not the Sabbath. It is, in fact, not possible to say that the Sabbath is Sunday due to very names of the days of the week, since they are actually named around the Sabbath. And so the first day of the week can never be the Sabbath. This blows both first day of the week arguments right out of the water before we even start. Okay. Satan's typical perpetual excuse for the above fact is, yes, the Sabbath is still Saturday, but we worship on Sunday now. To begin with, the Sabbath cannot be so called when what makes it the Sabbath is done on another day. Now, can it? While those taking this path may feel comfortable with this reasoning, don't they realize that God would not accept such nonsense? The image here is the upper portion of the Nielstrom stone discovered by Jesuit missionaries in 1625 A.D. in the province in Shisia in China. The title of the stone reads, a monument commemorating the propagation of the Tichin religion, Christianity, in the Middle Kingdom. The day of the stone erected was called Tuvo Shinwa, in meaning the great first of the Sabbath. The use of Jewish term for the days of the week in the heart of China indicates the powerful influence of the Neostronian church in Asia. Will God tell us if he changed the Sabbath to Sunday? God's Ten Commandments do not change on assumption. If I told you that the Sixth Commandment that says thou should not murder was changed because I saw the Bible where one Christian killed another and no one said anything, would you believe me? Not a thing. And why not? Because this would not be absurd. This would be absurd reasoning and a ridiculous assumption. If we see the mention of what we think is a Sunday meeting in the Bible and say the Sabbath is now Sunday, what do we call that? To vary the witness of history, the names of the days, and the fact that Jesus said that not even a jot or a little or a tittle was going to pass from the law, do we really think we have to make assumptions to decide if one of the Ten Commandments of God has changed? Of course not. There is no way that any of the Ten Commandments that define sin would change without the Bible absolutely screaming the change at us so loudly the earth would move. See also misunderstanding on Jesus fulfilling the law. And see, that's what we have to realize. They wrote the Bible years ago, and it was passed down to people to interpret. And that's why a lot of times we can look at the commentary, but they're not always right because you got just a mere man. Sometimes they're under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes they're not, because you have people that don't even believe in the Bible and trying to interpret the Bible. You got some Bibles, and I forgot, I think it's the Message Bible and some Bibles like that that's interpreted by atheists that don't even believe in the Bible. So you have to be really, really, really careful about that. So what about those wrong conclusions or assumptions from the proponents who apparently did not understand or examine Acts 20, verse 7, too closely or never intend to, apart from Acts 20 and 7? There is also one other verse that says first day of the week. This is less commonly used as supposed proof that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible. This is the worst of the two assumptions that one can only describe as an absolute abuse of scripture. The expression laid by him in store in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 2 means putting aside at home or to store goods away. It would be a rather strange expression for passing around an offering plate, don't you think? Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, so we'll know what it's talking about. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 16. Verse 2, and it says, on the first day of the week, one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gifts to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. So in other words, he was kind of telling them about on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. It could be, it's like an offering is what he's saying. The word of God is saying, Paul is saying, laying, storing up as he may prosper. You know, know how you work and you tithe and stuff like that. That's what Paul was telling them to do. Okay. Means putting aside at home or to store goods away. It would be a rather strange expression for passing around an offering plate, don't you think? The need at the time were clothing and food and et cetera, which would be taken from the field or storage. Famine conditions and the need for clothing were not unusual in areas of the Middle East, as Luke reminds us in Acts 11:28-30. This explains Paul's counsel to the Corinthians to do the work on the first day of the week, so that there be no gathering when I come. Such work as gathering produce from the field would certainly not be appropriated on the Sabbath. The request would have been made during the previous Sabbath meeting, and the first opportunity would be the first day of the week, or should we say the first day after the Sabbath. So that should have been on a Sunday. But and what he's saying is it shouldn't be doing anything on the Sabbath day, because you got people now, they won't do nothing on the Sabbath. When I tell you, and whenever they, like Apostle Dean, he don't want to do nothing on the Sabbath. Now, what I have to find out is what can you do on the Sabbath? Because from what I hear it is, you're not even supposed to cook. You're supposed to prepare everything on Friday before the Sabbath, Thursday, Friday, and have it so you can just warm up food. You're supposed to actually rest, relax, and everything. You're not even supposed to wash up, take a bath, or nothing. You're supposed to do that before the Sabbath or the day after the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is from Friday, sundown Friday, around about 8:30 at night, to the Saturday, 8:30 at night. And then that Sunday is the first day of the week. And so we understand that on Sunday, the reason why you will know it is the first day of the week, because your paycheck starts like that. Your paycheck starts from Sunday to Sunday. Wait a minute. Yeah, it goes from Sunday to Sunday. So that's how you know. That's really how you know that it's the first Sunday of the other week. Why would they give you in your check on a weekend? Mm-mm. Sunday is the first day of the week, and your check go from Sunday to Friday, really. But anyway, and it was saying that you're really not supposed to do anything, and if you could rest on the Sabbath, you will see for yourself that it's you're going to have some good sleep, some good rest. Not saying you have to be asleep all the time, but just rest. Don't do anything. You know, I get up on Saturday, I fix me something to eat if I'm hungry, and I do be hungry. I make me some coffee. I start looking in the Word, or I pray, or whatever I have to do. And, you know, but when I have to do something on the Sabbath, pen and ask God to forgive me, because sometimes I've worked on the Saturday and I had to repent. See, these things you can repent for, but you just don't do them. You got to do it sometimes. Because it's the Word of God. And when you find out, you know, when we don't know, because I didn't know for years and years and years. But when God wants you to know something, he's going to actually let you know it. So, and he's going to make sure you find out when it's time for you to find out. So the thing is, if I had to work, and I've worked a many of Sabbath days, I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. But when you do what them Ten Commandments say do, God will bless you. God gonna bless you when you keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the first thing. Now, do we have any questions for you before I go on? Because this is something to even know. Okay.
I was just thinking, like, if the Sabbath day was changed, it ain't no telling what else was changed just to make somebody else feel good and to accommodate somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this, I think it was, I know it was Constantine that changed the Sabbath day, but it was because he had, he was having something, and he couldn't go to the temple or something, so he just changed it. And just like they're trying to do the rules now and all of this political stuff, changing the laws and all this kind of stuff. That's what's going on now. They're changing all kind of stuff today. You know, so I believe that the Sabbath is on the Saturday. I believe that that's when we're supposed to worship. Even if you worship on Sunday, because you can worship anytime. God don't put nothing on that. But you have to observe the Sabbath on the day that it's supposed to be observed. It said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's a commandment. That ain't something that man made up. That is a commandment. God made that up. And you can't change the commandment. He said, don't add or take away not one jot or one tittle from his word. So whoever do that, they just messed up. So
I got another question. So it's saying keep it holy. Does that necessarily mean study? Like, can we watch TV or, you know, anything that don't have anything to do with, you know, bad stuff?
You're not supposed. Now, I'll say this. If you're watching worship, if you're watching something to praise God in, something Christian or whatever, you know, like that, it's good. But when you watching just something to take your mind's supposed to be on the Lord. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep that day holy. You know what I'm saying? Because all kind of stuff come on the television. We just don't even cut ours on. We very seldom even cut our radio on. Sometimes I look at YouTube and I just pick out, you know, podcasts and things like that to watch, to keep my mind focused, because that's a sacred time. And if it wasn't sacred, God wouldn't have put it in there. God wouldn't have put it for a Ten Commandments. But this is a command. He commands us to keep it holy. Just like he says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. You have to keep the Sabbath. And then, like you said, Satan wants us to not even know that we're supposed to be keeping the Sabbath and that he got us worshiping on the wrong day. We can worship any day of the week, but the most important thing is the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. If we miss Sunday, we miss Sunday. But we worship on the day we was commanded to keep holy. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it. It says, with 20 verse 7, it is claimed that the Sabbath must have been changed to Sunday because the verse says they are breaking bread on the first day of the week. You frequently hear statements like, it is well documented that the early church adopted Sunday as their day of worship based on Acts 20 and 7. But how often do you also hear Acts 2, verse 46, quote, when Acts 20 and 7 is used as the supposed conclusive proof that the Sabbath day was changed to Sunday in the Bible? Those who study their Bible will have also read Acts chapter 2, verse 46, that says they did this every day of the week. I also know of several large churches that hold worship services on the Sabbath and Sunday, and both include communion. Can we hold a church meeting any day of the week? Can we partake of communion every day of the week? The answer, as you already know, is yes to both, and you can. Because for a month, I took communion every day for 30 days and prayed. So you can do that. So it says, so on that premises alone, how can one say this proves that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday? We cannot. It is a very bad assumption that God gives no credit or wisdom, intelligence, or being fair. My God would tell me if he changed one of his commandments that defines what sin is. He would not leave me to play guessing games or something that affects my salvation, because this does affect your salvation when you know. When you don't know, it's a difference. But when you know, what sort of God would do that? So why is it that the proponent find Acts 27 but miss Acts chapter 2 verse 46? The answer is simple. Most people hate change, and especially major changes to their lifestyle. This makes it easier for our adversary to push the majority away from the truth. So is the seventh day Saturday or every day of the week. We can certainly worship God every day, but if we keep the Sabbath every day, we should not be holy. We would be lazy. God said to keep the seventh day, and he has never told us to the contrary. And until such time that he does, that is what we should be doing. It is sin not to do so, and willful, unrepented sin can have no forgiveness. And that's why I'm saying, when you do something on the Sabbath, repent. Repent. You have to repent, because unrepented sin is, unrepentance is sin, and it has no forgiveness. So Acts 27, the breaking bread or a fellowship meal, and was it Sunday or Saturday night? In biblical days, the first day of the week did not start at midnight, but at sunset. And that's another thing. A lot of that time changed too, because Apostle Daniel was trying to explain to me that, anyway, I don't even want to get into that because that's so deep. It just blew my mind. But we're going to get a chance to talk about that too. But this meeting was after sunset and before midnight on the first day of the week. This meeting was, in fact, on what we would call Saturday night or Saturday evening, so much for a Sunday meeting anyway. Paul was about to depart the next day, and so this was a Sabbath meeting that had been extended very late into the night, so much so that Eutychius fell asleep. Acts 29, and while listening to Paul's long hours of preaching and fell out of the window. The Greek word pariato, translated continuum in Acts 27, means to stretch or to extend along, that is, prolong in point of time. Because so many are familiar with the term breaking bread being used with communion, it has become a mindset to associate this term with communion. But this is another wrong assumption. Breaking of bread was actually done at every meal. When bread was eaten at a meal, one would take the bread from the table and break of a piece. The Last Supper with Christ was also a meal, and the bread was broken just as it would have at any other meal. The only difference was that Jesus used the bread and the wine as an analogy at the same time. The following two verses demonstrate this well. In the first verse, Jesus break bread and feeds the multitude, and the second is the Lord's Supper. Both involve giving thanks and breaking the bread. One was communion and one was not. There is a lot of confusion over this issue among Christians and even some theologians. In any case, this took place on Saturday night, and this is something that many have failed to notice. The Greek word used in both instances is also the same.
In a minute. Would y'all let me go over? Okay. Okay,
Matthew 15:36. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Note how the Good News Bible translates the breaking of bread to the fellowship meal. And note also how the Bible and the New English Bible translate the first day of the week to Saturday evening and Saturday night to avoid confusion for the reader. So, like I said, the interpretation or the translation of things is what you have to watch when it comes to stuff like this. You have to really be careful. Okay. Acts 20:7, King James Version. And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. On Saturday evening, we gathered together for the fellowship meal. Paul broke unto midnight. This is just different translations that is showing us. And it's in Acts 2:46 and Acts 20:7. And after Atuchius fell asleep and fell out of the window, Paul went downstairs and prayed over him, and the Lord restored his life because he had died. And Paul then went back upstairs and preached all night as he was leaving them first thing in the morning. Paul was hungry, and no doubt so were those who were listening. Would they have had bread and refreshments to get them through the night? Of course. Paul says that if we take of the Lord's Supper to satisfy our hunger, we take it to our condemnation. 1 Corinthians 11:34. The context of this verse is that this was done for substances to get through a long night of preaching and was not done in reference to the Lord. In any case, this was a Saturday meeting that extended right through the night to Sunday morning, and so it is not really relevant if this were communion or not, but it seems more like that it was just a meal. And some people do call it communal meal. But it's such a difference in this stuff. You have to really be careful, because if you just eating the Lord's Supper because you're hungry, you know you're condemning your own self. It says, Acts 20:11 says, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Here is one more circumstance where food was required for strength, and is definitely not communion. But here we have Paul giving thanks and breaking bread again. This was a meal for strength and survival. And anyway, we always supposed to pray over our food before we eat it. And in those days, they ate a lot of bread. They ate more bread than they did anything. I mean, they had some meat, but they had more bread than they had anything. So, and they always say breaking of bread, but they always pray, give thanks over their food like we're supposed to do today. We're supposed to give thanks over our food. We're supposed to pray over our food. So, you know, it should be nothing to that. Nothing. We have any questions? So desperate to prove it. Okay. It says, why are the proponents so desperate to prove a lie? The proponents of the Sabbath to Sunday change are so desperate to justify why Sunday as the Sabbath that many are now looking for any evidence, event that they think may have occurred on a Sunday and saying this is their so-called proof. It grieves me how Satan always manages to find someone he can use to do his bidding and attack God's commandment. The latest supposed proof that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible is based on Pentecost being a Sunday. And so they now quote a variety of verses from Acts chapter 2. This chapter is, in fact, does not mention the first day of the week. Even once, Pentecost falls on the 50th day after Pentecost each year, but the fact is Passover falls on a different day every year, and hence so does Pentecost. Just because it or any other event appears to fall on a Saturday, on a Sunday, sometimes does not make it a new day of worship. Pentecost falls on different days every year prior to that in both the Old and the New Testament, but the Sabbath still remains on the seventh day. And that's awesome. These deceived Christians have gone as far as to say that the early church met habitually on the first day of the week based on scriptures such as Acts chapter 2, Acts 20, 1 Corinthians, and as we have seen, so proven a lie. There are arguments also that if the early church did meet habitually on the first day of the week, then the real truth on how the day was changed must be wrong. It grieves me to have to answer one more fallacy, but the truth must be triumphed. And Satan lies exposed. Those who believe that the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in order of the resurrection also typically cite John verse 20 and 19, which is the upper room meeting of the disciples on the same day. Jesus arose from the grave. They say that the gathering on the first day of the week was to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But when we read the Bible record of the event, was discovered that the circumstances were quite different. Luke tells us that even though the disciples were confronted with the eyewitness story of Mary Magdalene, they believed not. Mark 16:12-14 states, after that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told unto the residue. Neither believed they them. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and harshness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. None of these disciples believed Jesus was risen. They have been joyously celebrating his resurrection. This is yet another shameful attempt at proving the Sabbath had changed. God's law does not change on assumption, though this one is an outright deception. John explains their reason for being together. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of Jews. So, it's going on and on, and it's eventually going to tell you where it comes from. When we read back, I've read almost seven pages, and when I looked into it, it still came down to Constantine being one of the leaders, or he was one of the emperors, and he had something to do, and he changed it. He changed it. So, and they never changed it back. But God didn't change his commandment. He probably would never will change his commandments. And he said for us not to change them commandments. Even if we don't keep the Sabbath, we're not supposed to change his commandments. And that's one thing I do know, and I'm not going to change it because I know better now. Before, I didn't know any better. Before I knew Apostle Dean, I didn't know any better. But now I know better. I know better. I'm not going to change it. And I'm going to try to keep it as long as much as I can. So we're not going to go any further with it. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left. We're just going to make sure you all kind of remember this, because I'm a start on it Tuesday and should be finished with it Tuesday. Hopefully, if not, we'll finish up on it Thursday. And then we'll go into the history of Leviticus. And like I said, it'll probably be the first week in August, really, before we get into Leviticus real good. I'll be settled. I've been to stop working and everything where I can get some stability back in our Bible classes and stuff like that. So do anyone have any questions or anything else they want to back before we get ready to go and take my glasses off, and I can't see it. So, anyway, it's
good
gonna
evening,
be
Apostle.
Good.
Good evening.
Good,
good
evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was just wanting to say I just got a lot of, I just thank God right now for the information that was given and how you just helped. How can I say this? Clarify a lot of
things.
I mean, I didn't necessarily have to ask about it for the Sabbath, the Sabbath that goes. And I mean, from what I gathered from this here is that, you know, it's truly a gift from God. And that's why he wants us to keep it, because it's a gift from him. It helps us, not we help him. You get what I'm saying? Most people not understanding the pureness of being, that's like a restart of your week, like a restart of your life, if for that matter. Because, I mean, excuse me, if you're keeping his Sabbath, it's just like you doing positive things. And, I mean, most people don't know what positivity is. When it's around the clock and you being around people that's positive and you doing positive things to people and for people. And it's merely, you know what I'm saying, for the purpose of, you know, just reminding us that God is the creator of us. He is the sustainer of us. He is the redeemer for our life. And so basically, we just want to spend the Sabbath day in ways to help, you know, do that so he can continue to be that in our life. So basically, it cleanses us. It opens us up so he can get a word to us. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not going to say it purifies our mind, but our spiritual part of us. It helps purify some of the things that God is trying to say, you know, it purifies that. So my thing of it is, if we spend a day not doing things that basically involve achieving or acquiring or controlling, we increase the likelihood of us not being focused on who God is. You know what I'm saying? You know how you send your child out the house every day and you basically say, you not only represent me, but you represent God? Who knows? We not only represent us and our family, the name, our last name, but we represent him. So he wants to, you know, talk to us, spend time with us. And these are the days and times that, you know, you don't need to really fast. You can fast on a Sabbath day. That'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
But he want us, you know, I heard somebody say, I don't mean to be long, I heard somebody talk about, well, what could we really do on the Sabbath day? Anything that will remind you of who God is, whether it's going outside, looking at the sky, whether it's in water and how he just, it's just the cleansing of it. Whether it's picking up the phone, calling somebody, being encouraging, just to listen to people, and just being godly and holy for that day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just, you get what I'm saying? So I just wanted to just reiterate that, because I can go on and on, but I know we over time now. So thank you for
but
this.
But you know what?
That,
you are right about a lot of that, because I that's why I was holding the women's meeting, because we talking about the Lord and stuff on the Sabbath day, and you helping somebody for the on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
God don't mind me. It's people that
Amen.
Go to church on the Sabbath day. You know, so you're right. You have to do things that uplifts the Lord on the Sabbath day. If you want to do anything, that's what you do. You go to church. I went to church many times on the Sabbath day. I praise God. I pray. I encourage people. I call and talk to people, too, as well, and they call me. And if it's about the Lord, I make sure I minister to them. You know, but if it's some crazy stuff, I don't get into it. I tell them I have to call them back. But that's what we should be doing on the Sabbath, doing the work of the Lord. And we got to keep it. We got to keep God's Sabbath. It's just like saying, thou should not kill. We ain't going to get out here and kill nobody. We're keeping the, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I know y'all love God because I love him. So this is a good subject, and it's good for everybody to know. So I'm going to finish up on Tuesday with this. And if we don't finish, Thursday we'll finish. So I'm going to get ready to close out. Father, I just thank you for everyone that's on this radio broadcast on tonight. I ask you to keep them all covered, they and their families, their children, their husbands, and their wives, God, in the name of Jesus. Keep them covered tonight and forever, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you and I thank you for opening up our understanding. I thank you for showing us what we need to do on the Sabbath, God. I give you glory. I give you praise on tonight. I magnify your holy name on tonight, Lord. So we just thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. God bless you all. You have a good night. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow night for Praise, Prayer, and Prophecy Hour. God bless you all. Have a good night. I love
you. God bless you, too. You, too.
God bless you. Amen.
Love you. Good night.
Love you, too. Good night.